I know you too. So, how many of you ate real good off last week's message? Good. Got a little more. Turn to John chapter 15. Last week, I talked about, just do what he says. And then we saw the miracles and the great things he did. He said, just do what I say. This week I want to talk more about kind of still going into, this is not the title, but going into the benefits of obedience. It's not the title. That's not the title. I'll give you the title. Be patient. It's coming. But I want to continue to go ahead and explain how much God, Lord, how do I say this? I know how I want to say it, but I want to make sure it comes across right. Are you paying attention to me? I want to explain or by his spirit get to you . See, saying how much God loves you is not enough. But I'll start with that. How much God loves you. But I guess what I'm looking for is how much he desires you and seeks to show his love to you. Saying how much God loves you, you know, we know, God loves the world. Hallelujah. He died for the sins of the world. He loves us all, right? And in saying that, it impersonalizes the relationship. Even when we say sometimes, God loves me, there's no passion to it. It's God loves me. God loves us all. Well, you know, that's really, really weird. Because if you have a spouse or a child or a significant member of your family, mother, whoever, that you have a close relationship, and you go to your mother or your husband or your kid and say, you know how much I love you? And they say to you, I love everybody. I love you. I love everybody. So you don't love me? No, I love everybody. All God's children. Everyone's beautiful in their own way. You know all those little sayings. That's just things you say. Liar, liar. No, that's just the things you say to ugly people, right? No. Listen. God doesn't want our relationship with him to be this generic, unpersonal, unmoving statement. I love everybody. Amen. God wants that I love you to be personal to you. I love you, God. I love you too, Edwidge. I love you too, Ruth. And it's that. And nobody else is included in that statement but you and God. There's times that we get that sense when we're going through something and God brings us through. God loves me. Then the wind begins to blow. Seasons begin to change. You did something wrong. And then you begin to think, maybe he don't love me so much. Am I telling a lie right here? I'm telling you that when you say that, you are telling a lie to yourself. His love doesn't change. It doesn't vacillate. You can love your sister and she can tick you off enough that you can say, I love you, but right now not so much. And maybe I might not even want to speak to you for the next couple of months. I'm saying God never does that. His love is consistent. It's strong. It's focused. It doesn't waver. Watch this. Because the scripture said, because God is love. So you can't not be what you are. So to us, love's a feeling. For God, it's who he is. If we got running through us blood vessels and tissues and all kind of systems, the only thing running through him would be he's made up totally of love. That's his being. That's his makeup. Then why do bad things happen? Well, we know why. Because the man committed treason and allowed Satan to become the prince or the god of this world. So now God has to work through surrendered vessels, which are hard to find even in the church. When we saw this whole big thing that went down on the 6th, which were by a lot of people that deemed themselves evangelical Christian. So God really has to look for vessels, that includes us, who knows how to love without prejudice. Amen. Without discrimination. And I say to God, good luck with that. But I'm going to try to be it myself. I volunteer for the job. Amen. John chapter 15. Starting at verse 1. Are we ready? I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Start right there. Here we go. Strap on your seatbelts. You're in for a Pastor DB cruise, ride, altitude. We're going up. This thing has so much in it that it stopped me solid when I looked it over again this morning. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, I cut it off. Sobering statement. Because Jesus is saying, I am the vine, and who is the branches? So he's talking then to those who are his. You know, we like to say he's talking about the world and those who ain't his. No. I'm the vine. You are the branches, my own. If you don't bear fruit, I cut you off. Now, he didn't say in outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he's not talking about eternal doom or punishment. But he is talking about a separation. How many of you have felt separated from God at times in your life? When you knew you had been checked more than once and you wouldn't receive the check, and all of a sudden you now praying and you feel like you're praying to an iron ceiling. Okay, me too. Yeah, I've been there. That's a separation. Not a damnation. It can be if you stay rebellious long enough, because that's what it is. But is this separation, is those times where I've asked you to make this adjustment in your spirit or your thinking or your mind or your behavior, and you have not, so now I have to put you in cold storage. He's talking to his own. But then he makes another statement. And if you're bearing fruit, I'm going to prune you so you can bear more fruit. Okay. I don't like that. But then I do. But then I don't. Because if you know anything about botany, who knows what that is? That's the growing of flowers and plants and stuff like that. Pruning is also doing some cutting. I'm into that. I grow fruits and vegetables, and I got to go out and look at my tomatoes if they're growing. And if I see a bunch of vines and curly things, but nothing's on it, I got to cut them off because they're going to take nutrients away from my good tomatoes. See, if you got a tall plant and you don't have a bunch of tomatoes growing on it, you need to snip it down from the top so there's less for the ground to feed so that the ones that are there can do well. So I go through and snip, 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 snip. I don't know if the plant can feel, but it's a whole lot of snipping going on. So God is saying, even when you're doing well, and you are producing fruit, I still got to cut back. So for those of you who think you stand, take heed. I got to cut back some still. Here's the problem. Too many believers come to a place in their walk where they see the move of God, and they see the love of God, and they see the manifestation of God, and they begin to believe that they don't need to become any better because God's blessing me. So he starts cutting back. He starts snipping. What does that mean to my heart, to your heart, that even when I'm doing well, he's still pruning? What does that mean? Is it possible that even with the growth you have, you're still required to grow? Still required to change? Still required to mature? Still required to do better? You're never supposed to get to a place in your walk where you've arrived in your own mind. God is training you just like a parent would train the child. You don't teach them the ABCs and say they did well at that, we're good. You keep them growing, and then you hopefully, most parents believe, for them to go into higher education. Now, side note, I am not pro-college. Not anti-college, but I'm not pro-college. And I thank my Lord that what I did with my son worked out perfect. What I said to him was, you barely got out of high school, you didn't like it, and you didn't want to go. I'm not taking out a loan and putting you in debt to go party, because I know what you're going to do. You're doing it now. I'm not paying room and board for you to go hole hopping. Not doing it. I know where you're going. Now, if you got out of school with some scholarships and some grants and you just such a studious son of a gun, absolutely. Get out there, find out where you're good, find out what you want to do so you can go to college with a purpose. And he did. And he discovered his love was finance, and he has his master's degree in finance. And thank God through some of the moves and maneuvers he's made through the military, I didn't have to pay for any of it. But my point is, he got a chance. I gave him his first apartment. I had a house. I could do that. I owned property. I gave him a place. Pay half the bills. Even though you live in there, pay half the bills. Feel what it feels like. God wants you to continue to grow, but not without putting you out there to be experienced. And by being experienced, you then get to learn what needs to be further pruned. With all you're getting, get wisdom. With that, get understanding and an insight and knowledge of God. We went through all that over and over and over again. Your process is going to be experiential. The problem with the school system thing and why I don't believe in it, one, why should I make my child start out his life with $100,000 or $80,000 or $50,000 worth of debt? Two, while you're in school, already accumulating a bunch of debt that you're not aware of yet because it hasn't hit you. They nicely hold it from you till you get out. Then the schools make deals with the credit card companies that they're sitting in the lobbies of your building getting you to sign up for even more debt by offering you all kind of credit card. Come on, right? Just screwing you up. You know what happened to me? I got out of school. Well, I dropped out of college. And then all of a sudden, all these collections start coming at me. Thank God I dropped out as early as I did. I would have been hammered. Here's my point. And you 7 years don't get you free from college debt. It will follow you till you die. So experience is how God chooses to educate us, and there's no debt attached. Now, I'm starting you off this way because I want you to see something. I'm talking about God loves you, but not just a I love you. But no, I love you, meaning develop you into everything you need to be, love you. Every area of your life, love you. Every pain, every fear, every tear, every confusion, any I don't understand it, any of that, I love you. You guys are parents now. What would you not do for your child? Good. What would you not do good for your child? My point is, you're not a better parent than God. And if you want the best for your child, the scripture said if your child asks you for an egg, would you give him a stone? And if he asks you for a fish, would you give him a serpent? And then he goes on to say, if you being evil by nature, would do good things for your child, how much more would your Heavenly Father do for you as his child? So he's saying the process of pruning is to make you less dependent on what you become dependent on and more trusting of God. Amen. And notice I didn't say more dependent, which is what I heard in church my whole life, but more trusting. God's trying to build the independence in you. But an independence that's based on trust in him. You're always free to make your own decision. Haven't you figured that out by now? So God doesn't want you a slave to him. You're his child. He wants you independent, but independent based on a trust that you gain and establish and grown in him over these periods of time, that he can put you out there and know that you'll go in the right direction because you've trusted him throughout your walk.
Amen.
Got that? So, if you bear fruit, he takes away the fluff so you can bear more fruit. before we move on, let's talk about some of the fluff that he has to take away so you can bear more fruit. Let's talk about it. You want to name some things? You want to jump in? Yes, Lindsay. That's good. Overthinking and intellectualizing everything. Spoken like a true champion. Edwidge. Pride. Esther. Pride. Go ahead. What else? Fear. Right, because as long as you trust them, the fears go away. What else? Anything else? Let's deal with the pride part. God blesses you. You bear fruit. You start to win. Isn't that the first thing that creeps up? You start doing good. Isn't that the first thing that creeps up? You start doing better than you ever did before. Ain't that going to happen naturally? You're doing better than everybody else in your family. Ain't that going to happen naturally? It's a natural thing. It's got to prune. You didn't have pride to deal with before. You didn't have nothing. Now you do. You didn't have education before you went to school. Now you do. Now you got your little paper degree, so you think you better than everybody else that don't have one. I'm going to tell you something really, really funny. You don't even have to get a degree or really achieve nothing in a real sense. I watch vegans and vegetarians all the time think they're better than everybody because they're vegans. Get all smug and stuff on themselves. I got an electric car. I ain't polluting the air. So many opportunities for us to be prideful. Pride's a big one. Pride's a big one. It's the biggest of the things. Because pride becomes before a destruction and a Holy Spirit before the fall. So immediately, the enemy doesn't usually attack you when you begin to succeed in God with lust or stealing. And sometimes it's not even fear, but pride straight out the gate. What was the word? Be humble. Pride comes immediately. Pride comes immediately. So, part of your pruning process is going to always be God bringing you back to, you didn't do this. I did, through you. You didn't achieve this. I and the people I surrounded you with did this. There's usually a team or a group that are responsible for the move of God in your life. Stay humble. Let's keep moving. So he prunes you so you can be more fruitful. You are already clean. Because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, I also in you, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can it bear fruit unless you remain in me. Neither of you can bear any fruit unless you remain in me. I'm going to go short over this point, but I'm going to make it. One, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Tell me what that means. This is real simple stuff, but this is going to be some real strong practical foundation, so when I go ham, you'll understand. You are already clean by the word I've spoken to you. I like that you're already covered. Keep going. Come on, saints, don't be nervous. The word's already hidden in your heart. But he said, I'm already clean. You're already clean by the word I've spoken to you. None of what you said is wrong. What word do you think he spoke to them that made them already clean? You are the vine. I'm the vine, you are the branches. You have to be in me. It's a message of salvation. You must be saved. You must be born again. You must be in me. you can no longer be in this religious order, religious sect. You must accept the price that I pay. You must be attached to me. You must be one with me. You must be attached to me. Everything we just covered is right there, part of the pruning and everything. You must be in me. Your decisions, your steps, if you fall, get back up. You're already clean. Get back attached to the vine. Don't drift away. The key to seeing the love of God, the responsibility that falls on you and me, is staying attached. Get ready. The church and religion has made it such an arduous task to walk with God. It's a struggle every day, and your sins and your shortcomings are so magnified that you never can see the good in yourself. You're a filthy rag and all this church junk, right? He said you're already clean. I charge you with one task and one task only, and that's stay connected. Regardless of what's going around you, to stay connected. Regardless of what they're saying and what diseases are supposed to be in there, stay connected. I've never believed or told church folk, no, you're a believer. Go run out amongst Corona and lay in it. You should be fine. That's idiocy, that's stupidity. It's the worst mindset that a believer can have. No. He said, if you drink any deadly thing unintentionally, it will not hurt you. He didn't tell you now go drink poison and see if you live. So respect, it's a real thing. But if I'm attached to the vine and following his instruction, I'm protected. If I'm in his perfect will, I'm protected. I'm protected. And I guarantee you I've been around it all up and down the block. But I'm protected. This time I woke up and felt symptoms, and I was like, not today. Not in this vessel. Not today. Matter of fact, I'm not even tolerating a cold right now, because you could try to play yourself off as something. Yeah, no, not today. I'm in that age that's supposed to be the dangerous age. They said 60s, that's it. You're supposed to be high risk. I ain't no high risk. I'm doing good. I'm attached. Consciously and full effort to the vine, which keeps me in a place to be pruned. If you're going to stay attached, you must be pruned. You're already clean. He spoke it. You accepted Christ. You accepted him as your salvation. Say, I am already clean. In every way. Say that again. Say it like you have conviction about it. How do I stay clean? Stay attached. Got it? We overcomplicate this walk. How do I stay attached? So if I go to church 5 times a week and I pray and make sure I don't ever watch a movie, and that's all the stuff you're trying to work into behavior. Staying attached is a spiritual position. And then let that change your outward behavior. Don't try to change your outward behavior to make yourself more spiritual. It never works. Stay attached in your spirit and let his spirit speak to you. And then you know what to do and where to go and what not to see and who not to be around. Instead of trying to become self-righteous and holy, well, I'm better than them because I'm a Christian now, so I don't go around them. Okay, well, yeah, you need to be pruned. Because that's pride. Now, if he says to me, don't go around that, I'm attached to the vine. Watch this now. Let's keep this going. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. It's reciprocal. You sow a seed of remaining, and I answer you with the fruit of remaining in you. You better catch that. I'm trying so hard. No, you're not. Make the decision to remain. Sow the seed by faith of remaining. And he will also remain in you. Can you see how simple this is? No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you shall bear a little fruit here and there. Oh, you saw that, huh? You know, God don't want you to have much. You know, just be happy with what you got. You know, don't seek after nothing. No, he's saying right here, I want you to bear much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to bear much fruit. And I believe I am, and I want to bear much, much more. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Who wanted to do some remaining right now? I felt like I've been picked up and thrown in the fire a couple of times in my life. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like it. Now, here's what I want to say before I go any further. And I'm going to bring my book with me because I want to make sure when I'm ready to go to the next thing, I got to go back. Remain in me. Remain committed to me. It's all he wants. He didn't ask you to perfect yourself. He didn't ask you to make yourself better. He didn't ask you to try to pretend you're more Christian. He didn't tell you to do all of that. He said, remain in me. Make the decision. It's a decision of the heart. And I'll remain in you. If you don't, you're a throwaway. But here's where it gets powerful. And I want you to listen close to what I'm about to say. Religion has taught us so much that side of it. Well, if you don't walk with God, you don't stay in his perfect will, you know, you're going to be damned. Things going to go wrong. God let that happen to you. And we get so focused on that when that's not his message. His message is always, you are already clean, and this is how much I love you. If you go out there, these are the things that will confront you and hurt you. It's never his desire for that. His ultimate message is never, if you read his words, the punishment. You will perish without me. But if you accept me, there's eternal life. His story is always, the glass is all the way full, not half empty. Why you want to keep focusing on the half empty glass? His message, if you read it through, is always saying, these things will cause you harm, but I have the way out. In this world, there is tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Therefore, if you're my body, you have overcome the world. Aren't you the body of Christ? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever who wishes. That says that? What? Wait a minute. Jesus actually said, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you can ask whatever you want and it will be done for you? Does that say that? How many of you have been asking for what you want and it ain't been done for you? Maybe you need to check your vine status. Like I said last week, that half an hour, 45-minute all prayers getting answered thing, I was like, I need to check my vine connection thing right there because I need that. And I know she's not perfect. I know her. I would do business with her. I know. But it don't matter what I know. God likes something. I want to know. I want that part. Forget the human stuff. I want that. What's that relationship like? You will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Oh my God. How many of you have prayed, I give all glory to God? Sang songs about all glory to God, all glory belongs to you. You're singing, oh, the glory belongs to you, oh God. He said to his glory is when you bear much fruit. It's right there. I can drop the mic. That's right there. So you think God receives all the glory when you're broken and you don't have nothing and you can't figure out how to pay your bills and your body's sick and your kids ain't acting right, but you still love Jesus anyway. Glory to God. Lord, nothing. As long as I have you, I can have nothing. And he just said right here, this is Jesus. This is red letters. I don't know if you see it. I don't know if your Bible got red letters. This is Jesus talking. This ain't somebody else talking. You can't even blow that off. Jesus said, my Father bears much fruit and is glorified when you bear much fruit. God said, I want you to the place that my relationship with you is so tight and that you've been pruned so good that you ask for whatever you want and I do it. Amen. That's the Bible. How many of you are going to stop praying those poverty prayers? This is Jesus talking. My Father gets glory out of you being pruned to the place that you bear so much fruit that you can ask him for anything in your heart and he'll do it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you. I need some of that. And my life is good. But it ain't no ask whatever I want, get it good. It ain't there yet. By faith, I'm confessing it is. I'm telling you from this day forward, it shall be. I declare it. Now, I'm declaring it for me. It's your responsibility to declare for you. I can't make your vine be attached, your branch be attached. I can just tell you that you should. That's a stop and take a prayer moment right there. Yeah, go ahead. Go on before the throne with that. Father, I'm just going to follow suit with the church right now. I thank you, Lord God, for that revelation, that truth, that anointing of your word, that is mine to have. You are my loving Father, and you want to be blessed. Just like when I dress my kids up and I do good by my kids or by my grandkids, I'm so proud to see them with the toy, to see them with the clothes that I bought them, to see them with, you are the same way as a father and more so. It takes you, gives you good pleasure, and you get glory just like we get glory. We dress our kids up with all these nice clothes, and the kids don't even know what it is. And when somebody else says, wow, that's you got some designer whatever on your child, you take the glory because the child doesn't know what it is. Father, we receive that glory that we don't even know what it is right now. We want you to dress us in that stuff that nobody knows what it is but you and your friends. I, Father God, right now make the decision to be grafted in so deep to that vine that you can move on my behalf and get glory out of seeing me prosper and having the things that's on my heart that you put there. In Jesus' name. I told you it was starting off smooth, but it was going somewhere. I saw that verse and it messed me up. Because I've read it a million times. But this time it hit me different. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you shall ask whatsoever you wish and it will be done. To this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Now, fruit is not money and just money and stuff and things like that, but even souls that are able to be touched and saved by your lifestyle and your example. Because he said, this way you show you're my disciples. So your lifestyle should be showing that you are a disciple of God. Not that you just have stuff, but that you are blessed like you are blessed because you are God's disciple. And blessed could be things, blessed could be opportunities, blessed can be favor and doors open. Blessed can be a lot of things. I want all of them, by the way. Amen. Just for the record. I want all of what blessed means. I want every bit of it. Bible says in the Greek word for blessed is happy, fortunate, and enviable. So that means you should be happy, you should be fortunate, you should be enviable. That means if people look at you and they're jealous of you or they bitter at your blessed at what you have, that means you're blessed. It's just messed up that sometimes it's church people because they don't have it. Side journey, but let me just put this out there. If somebody in the word and the walk of God prospers and God moves on their behalf, and you're in the place where you're at peace in your walk with God, do you envy them? No. You envy them when you don't see yours nowhere in sight. And you don't believe it's coming anytime soon. If you see somebody else prosper in the things of God, and you know your walk is good, you look at them and you get encouraged and you say, mine is close. Mine is close. If he let me be this close to it and see it happen, and I was there for the prayer and watched the manifestation, I'm like, then you want me to have that. Ain't no way you show me that and it's so that I can't have it. Amen. Ain't no way. That you my daddy. Right, right. You no respect of person. Right. And whatever that is right there, you allow me. I'm the one who said the prayer up in this place. Right. Okay, you know what I'm saying? you let me be part of that, then I'm going to be part of all of that. I claim whatever that relationship, that anointing is, that flow, I was part of it. I was privy to it. It's mine. I came and shared it with you. You're now privy to it. It's yours. Y'all didn't catch that. See, I told you whatever God gives me, I give y'all. Correction and the good stuff. So I shared the story with y'all. Well, she started sharing it. I finished it. It's yours now. He didn't do that so that we can have it and hold it in front of your face. He did it so you can have something to aspire to.
Yes. Amen.
At least that's how we do it in here.
Amen.
We don't have no select groups. Amen. Ready for this? Ready for this? Look at me before we read. How many of you, again, churches teaching the negative side of the Bible or teaching the wrong side of the Bible, has walked around your life saying, I am a slave or a servant of the Lord? Be honest. Yeah. Heard it and probably even said it, right? I'm his Lord's servant. I'm a slave. I'm a servant of God. And thought it was a spiritual holy thing to say. Some of you have been here while you know better because you heard me say different and still probably didn't know why I said it. I'm about to reveal why. Jesus still talking, by the way, still red letters. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Ooh, that's a lot of love. Now remain in my love. Where am I going? Where am I going? Sophie, you caught it. Where am I going? Now remain in my love. What does that mean? What does it also mean? Come on, Esther. You have the opportunity to not stay. It's your choice. So when he's doing the vine and branch thing, he's talking about his love. It's the same conversation. When Jesus spoke, he didn't say verse 2 and then say the next line. He was just talking. This is all one conversation. Verse 3, chapter 4. No, he was talking a straight conversation with people in the room. So I want you to see this not as chapters and verses, but a conversation of our Savior standing there just, as you say, Shell, chopping it up. Okay? So he's now clarifying what he means about the vines and the branches and how you stay attached. It's my love. Stay in my love. Not my rules, my love. I love you the way the Father loved me. If you continue to accept and receive my love, you are pruned by my love. No, you don't get that. Doesn't the scripture say it's his kindness that leads you to repentance? We still trying to follow rules, laws, and ordinances. He said, if you walk in my love, you'll do right. I don't want to sin because I don't want to go to hell. What about I just love you so much I just can't? Isn't it easier that way? He said, just stay in my love. I don't want to go the wrong way, not out of fear of God beating me up, but because I'm in love with my Savior, and it just doesn't seem right to me to in certain things in my life to spit in his face. Yet there's still others that he's working me through because I'm not as solid as I could be. But even in that, I know it's out of his love that I can be better. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? It's out of his love I can be better, not fear of retribution. Did you catch that? Fear of retribution will only make you behave so long. You'll be good for a minute. I've taught this before, but let's see if we understand this. Why does fear of retribution not work? Let me see how many of you remember this message. She says, just behavior modification. Just keep going. Because it's birthed out of fear. I need more. Yes, Esther. Once the problem's no longer there, it's fine. Why is the problem no longer there? Because if it's sin and it scared you and it was wrong, why aren't you still scared? What removes fear, the Bible says? Perfect love casts out fear. What is God? Is he not perfect love? So then he cast out fear. So if you're living in fear to do right, God is always constantly working to cast it out. Now, once that fear is gone, you're going to go right back to what you were doing because you're not loving in reciprocation. You can't behave out of fear. God won't receive it. That's like Cain's offering. I don't want a fear offering. I want a love offering. Cain did a duty offering. Abel did a love offering. Even though the scriptures didn't break it down where people see it, I did the study. His offering was a duty. It was a works offering. This is what you require. Here it is. It wasn't here. God rejected it. I don't want your religion. I want your heart. I don't want you to have a church relationship with me. I want you to have a love relationship, father-child relationship with me. I don't want you following ordinances. I want you having a surrendered heart. You are attached to me as the branch to the vine, and the vine and the tree is love. Jesus is the vine. God is the tree. It's love, and that's how you attach. He gave his life for you. How much more love can it be? Now, why do you get in, which is what we studied past couple of weeks, why do you get in now and try to do works, which we'll be covering? Taste not, touch not in the book of Galatians. Handle not. Who bewitched you again, he said, that you would follow these ordinances and walk away from the love of God that was given to you so freely? Yes, I'm a studier of the word. You're welcome. As my Father loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, remain in his love. I have told you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Do you see all this? I want you to be complete and happy. Enjoy. So just keep this commandment. What is commandment? My commandment is this. The Ten Commandments, right? Don't sin, don't cuss. No. He said, my commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you. See how we overcomplicate it? I'm the vine. You are the branches. You're brought in by love. I need you to be in love. I need you to walk in love. And I need you to love one another. If you did that, you can ask whatever you wish in my name and I will do it for you. Let's not forget that, and if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Well, what is he asking? What is he asking for you in return? That you get rid of all of this other mess, be pruned of all of this hatred and bitterness and animosity and stuff, that jealousy and stuff that tries to live in you, and walk in my love. John 15, Brother Merle. Walk in my love. Walk in my love. If you walk in this love that I have for the Father, and the Father has for me, and I have for you, and I brought you in through that love, then I command you to keep my commandments. And then he says, what is my commandment? He didn't say, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not fornicate. He said, that you love one another. You will know my disciples by the love they have for one another. But let's not drop it right there. Let's just keep this going. My commandment is this. Verse 12, that you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has this than no man, that one would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. What did he command? Okay, so again, you are my friends if you do what I command. And which is what? Next verse. I no longer call you servants. Stop. Stop for a minute. This Jesus talking. Red letters. When I read this as a baby Christian, I said, I'm never calling myself a servant of the Lord again. Because Jesus said, I don't call you that. You're a servant if you're trying to serve the law. You're a servant if you're trying to keep religious decree. But if you walk in the love that he's called you to walk in, he said, I don't call you friend anymore. So I know when I feel like a servant. I know when I'm out of the will and I'm not walking in love and I got animosity and bitterness and whatever in my heart. I know when I feel the weight of being a servant, like I'm carrying bundles of rocks up a hill. And the moment I sit down and say, God, where am I not walking in love? And he reveals it to me, that weight comes right off of me. Nobody here has had that experience?
Yes.
He'll show you right here. I need you to forgive this. I need you to let this go. Yeah, but I deserve to be upset with him. Yeah, you deserve to be a lot of things. You deserve to spend eternity in hell. But I made a way so you don't have to. Now, I want you to walk in love and let this one go. Whew. And there's times I've said, God, let me sit down a minute. Let me just have one last angry thought. Let me have one last bad thought. One more night with the frogs. Let me be PO'd one more minute. You see, I'm laughing because you know I'm telling the truth, right? Let me just have one more bad thought of them getting hit by a bus or something. Oh, I'm being too real up here? Okay, I don't want them hit by a bus. I don't want them to die. But can I just picture them losing everything? Just lose it. Being infested with something. Let them get COVID. I never wished the COVID on nobody because that I've been delivered since then, before then. But I'm talking about, you know, we have these. Come on now. You're laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. Can I just hate them a little bit longer? God said you can. You can hate them as long as you want. But you disqualify during that period from the acts whatever you wish and you should receive it. You just detached yourself from the vine for this season. Now, you stay out there long enough, I'm going to have to gather you up and throw you in the fire. You know, you can't stay apart too long before you start to wither. You understand? It's very important that we walk in love. That's an obedience that I want us to have. I thank God that for the most part in this house, I don't see animosity, and I have not seen that. But the bigger we got, when we got really big, we saw a lot of it. And it's like, God, that's why I don't ever want a big church, because there's so many different spirits and minds and hearts to deal with. You guys are end time disciples. We can work so hard on being good at so many things, but at the end of the day, this is the stuff God wants us to master. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I don't know if you're ready for this. Let's go back to the verse before. You are my friends if you do what I command, which is walk in love. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from the Father I have made known unto you. You never know what the Lord is going to do. Jesus said, I'll let you know everything if you're my friend. God works in mysterious ways. He said, no, he don't. He'll tell you anything you want to know. If you're my friend, I'm mysterious to you because you're not a friend. Title of the message is, I am a friend of God. You're singing it every week. Or I'm God's friend if you just want to make it short. I'm God's friend. You're God's friend if you walk in his love. That's all he requires of you. He don't want you to be perfect. He don't want you to be mistakeless. Even if you fall out of it, you can step back in it and say, I refuse to walk in animosity. I refuse to walk in hatred. I refuse to walk in bitterness. I refuse to walk in strife. I refuse. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. Your emotions and everything, you could be saying, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. You say, no, you ain't going to get me to come out of my mouth with that. Amen. My confession is, I forgive. Yes. And I forgive by faith. Yes. And I choose to forgive. And I set my face toward forgiveness. And I do not receive the pushing or marching orders of my emotions and flesh.
Amen.
There's a choice. So people say, I'm just going to walk in the love of God. Really? Your attitude, even the way you just said it, you ain't walking in the love of God. I'm just going to walk in love. No, walk in love is an effort. And it's a surrender of the heart. I was wronged by you, but I choose not to hold it against you. I refuse to hold that to your account. I've had people steal from me, recently. And God said, you can count it as a theft or you can count it as a seed. They can't take it if you gave it. Guess what I did? I counted it as a seed and let it go. Every time I thought about it, the $1,500 they stole. You think that ain't come back already dozens of times? Please. Seed. And when I think about it, I refuse to even get mad. So people would talk about, and you would bring up the people that left and they did, and every time you talked, the number went higher and higher and higher. And I was like, dude, I ain't taking that back. Not even in the realm of the spirit, I'm not taking that back. I gave that. If they manipulated, if they lied, if they schemed, if they stole, they so what? That's between them and God. I'm letting that go. I'm not even trying to claim that back. You don't owe me that. If you came to me tomorrow and said, I owe you that, I was like, no, you don't. No, you don't. My harvest is nice. That's that walk in love. I may not feel it emotionally, but if you start to speak it and stand on it, your emotions eventually will line up. Let's bring it home. This is it. This is it. How you doing today? So first of all, you're not his servant, and it is not the Lord's desire for you to be his servant. Servitude is what comes under the law as a result of being in sin. He said, I've come and I've given you life. You're already clean by the words I gave you. You redeemed. You're set free. I no longer call you sins. Call you servants. I have a commandment. Keep my commandment. And here's the commandment. That you love one another, verse 12, as I've loved you. And then he makes this statement, greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down one's life for a friend. So here's what he's saying. In simple terms. You ready? It ain't that hard for you to forgive and walk in love. I die for your own words. I think that you could at least love somebody. That's what he's saying. Ain't none of you had to die for nobody. If you're still alive to be mad at anybody, that means you ain't died for nobody. So if I could lay down my life for y'all, the least you can do is forgive and love. I'm going to say that two more times. If I can come and lay down my life for you and die for you when there's no sin in me whatsoever, I came and did miracles and healed people and they still betrayed me, the least you could do is make the attempt and the decision to walk in love and forgiveness toward people. He said, if you do this, you are my friends. And I will no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is. You don't know his master's business. But I've called you friends for everything I've learned from the Father I've made known unto you. Basically, he said this, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So trying to figure out how to be it is not even your problem. He chose you. That means you already got it. But I chose you and appointed you so that you may go forth and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my Father's name, the Father will give you. He goes back to it again. This is my commandment. Love each other. So he goes back to again. Anything you ask, you are no longer a servant. You're a friend. The Lord works in mysterious ways because you're not a friend. He said, whatever the Father knows, I'll tell you. Whatever the Father has plans for you, I'll let you know. Sometimes you just never know what the Lord's going to do. Again, you're explaining to me that you're not a friend. I refuse to live my life not knowing. You have a right to say that? Yeah. Scripture says it. My people are destroyed for lack of What is knowledge? Knowing. So you don't know. That's why you destroy. So why would God want you to not know? If God says you're destroyed for not knowing, then why would he want you to not know? Church people are so stupid sometimes. But they get up there and they preach stuff that they ain't studied. It had been passed down through the generations. Sound good to me. Somebody right now acknowledge, God wants me to know everything I need to know. He's hiding nothing from me. Read that last verse one more time. What's my time? Oh, I went over. Somewhere along the line, I hit my clock and it stopped going. So I'm thinking I still got time. And then I looked at it and I realized, wait a minute, it's still 8 minutes. It can't be still 8 minutes. So anyway, let me wrap it up. Thank you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you may bear fruit, fruit that will last. God chose you to bear fruit. If he chose you to bear fruit, that means you can. He chose you for that purpose. Not to be perfect, not to be right, not to do everything right, but to bear fruit. But to bear fruit, you must be pruned. You must be set back up. You must grow and then be pruned some more. And as you grow, you learn that your attachment to him is love. He died for you and brought you in by love. He expects you to continue to grow in love. Instead of working on all your other stuff, why don't you just work on your love walk and watch everything else line up?